So there's going to be a second Torah scroll this Shabbat, in which is going to be read a section called, which begins, HaChodesh HaZelechem, this month is for you, and it's kind of setting up the whole atmosphere of Pesach, and it's talking about the new moon of Nisan, and this Shabbat we bless the new moon of Nisan, so that's all in sync. Let me just find this in Sefaria, one moment. Please, so there we want Tanakh, and it's Exodus, and it's chapter 12 in Exodus. There we are. Right. Okay. So let's begin with that. So I'm coming back to our Zoom, and there's Sarah. That's lovely to see you. And I'm going to share the
You
screen.
too, Sam Tally. Thank
Right.
you.
Yeah, lovely seeing you.
Lovely seeing you.
And right, here we have this. Right. So this is what we're going to be reading in the second Torah scroll. God said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, HaChodesh HaZelechem, this month should be for you, Rosh Chodeshim, the head of the months, the first of the months. Rishon Hu Lachem, it's the first for you, L'Chodshei HaShana, of the months of the year. So this is going to be the month of Nisan, and when we give numbers to the months, Nisan is the first month of the year. So Nisan is the first month, and the next month, Iyar, is the second month, and so on. So that means that Tishrei, which is the month in which is Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, is actually in the seventh month. So here we have the idea of Nisan being the first. And then come a lot of rules, of which we're not going to read more than just this beginning. Dabru el kol adat Yisrael, speak to the whole community of Israel, they're more saying, Be'esol ha-chodesh hazeh, on the 10th of this month, v'yikru lahem each sel levet avot, sel habayit, each person should take, each man, head of a household, should take a lamb for his household, and that's going to be the Paschal lamb. And they're going to slaughter it and roast it and sprinkle the blood on the doorposts and then roast it and eat it. And then it will be around midnight, will be the actual moment of the freedom. There'll be the death of the firstborn, and Pharaoh will come begging the Jews to leave. And the next morning early, they will all leave Egypt. So that is. The first mitzvah, which is given to the Jewish people as a whole. There were mitzvot given as individuals, like Abraham was told to circumcise himself. But this is a mitzvah given by Moses to the whole Jewish community, and it's a specific thing they should do at that moment. And in fact, it goes on and it tells them about repeating that every year, and how this is going to be the Pesach festival, which we are swiftly approaching with the help of God. Now, this verse is referred to in another verse. So let me find this other verse, which is right at the beginning of the Torah. So right at the beginning of the Torah, that means Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. So that's what we're going to be looking at. Now, can you see Bereshit on the screen?
Yes.
When God began to create heaven and earth? Yeah, lovely. Okay, so now.
What's this?
Yeah, okay, so now we're going to look at a commentary on this by Rashi. And Rashi says, Rabbi Isaac said, the Torah, which is the law book of Israel, in other words, it's a book of law, should have begun with the verse that we read just before, this month shall be for you the first of the months, which is the first commandment given to Israel. So then he goes into a whole discussion why the Torah begins with the account of creation instead. And it's a very beautiful idea that God is telling the nations of the world. Now, this part is not mentioned in the discourse that we're going to be studying. Now, the point is, but we'll read it anyway because it's highly relevant. For should the peoples of the world say to Israel, you are robbers, because you took by force the lands of the seven nations of Canaan. In other words, you took the land of Israel by force from the indigenous inhabitants. Israel can reply to them, which is what they're saying to us right now. Israel can reply to them, all the earth belongs to the Holy One, blessed be He. He created and gave it to whom He pleased. When He willed, He gave it to them, and when He willed, He took it away from them and gave it to us. So, whoever the land of Israel might have originally belonged to, the Canaanites, God took it from them and gave it to us, the Jewish people. And thousands of years later, that land is still ours. It is our holy land, and that holy land is the land of Israel. And that is an important point for every human being in the world to recognize. I say every human being in the world should recognize it because otherwise they'll recognize the opposite. So they have to see that this is our holy land. However, all this is not discussed in the discourse. What the discourse discusses is the fact that Bereshit, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. I'm sorry, it's got this unfamiliar beginning, a translation, it's a quirk of the system. So, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. That is about the creation of the world. And the important question is now, and so we're going to come to a whole discussion, and that in Rashi is bounced back to the other text that we had. This month should be for you the first of the month, which is going to be read in the second Torah this Shabbat. So on the basis of this, we are going to try to explore this beautiful discourse, which was actually edited by the Rebbe and published on the birthday of the Rebbetzin, which is 25th of Adar. And so this was published with the rubric tract for the 25th of Adar, which is her birthday. It was published after she passed away. So we're going to explore that now. And to help us get into it, we're going to have the melody of the discourse. Yam bam, ah ya yo yam, ha yedam ba ya ya yam ba yum. Now, can you see this discourse? Can you see the Hebrew text of the discourse? Can you? Can someone tell me? Can
I
you?
see it. I see it.
You see the discourse? Thank you.
No, I see that. I see the Sepharia on Bereshit.
You don't see the discourse. Okay.
Not yet.
Right, okay, so I've got to do something else about that. Om bam bam ba ya ya yo ya yam ba ya ya yo
Oh, yeah.
yam bam ba ya
Oh,
ya yo ya yam oh ya ya yo ya yo
yo
Oh,
yo
Right. So here we have the text. So this is Shabbat, Parshat Vayakel, which is the Shabbos we have this week. And it is also Parshat HaChodesh, which is what we have this week as well. And that year it was the 25th of Adar. Tonight is the 22nd of Adar. It might be the 25th on Shabbat. I can't quite work it out.
It is.
It is, right. So it's going to be the 25th as well, which will be the birthday of the Rebbetzin. And so we have HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. This month should be for you the first of the month, the head of the month. V'itah b'Midrash. And it says in the Midrash, which is quoted in Rashi at the beginning of Bereshit, which we just looked at. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said, Lo haya tzarich la'tchil et ha-Torah ele me'achodesh hazeh lechem. The Torah should really have begun with those words, this month should be for you. Uma tam patach be-Bereshit. And why did it begin with Bereshit? Mishum koach masav higid la'amo, because of the whole idea that Hashem is showing his power, la'teit ve'em nach la'goyim, that he is giving them the land which might have originally belonged to someone else, but then it was given to us and it therefore belongs to us. Now, so v'al pi ha'yadua, now as is known, shegam she'la b'torah hi Torah, that even when there's a question in Torah, that question itself is part of Torah, because Torah is Torah Emet. Torah is the Torah of truth. So even whatever there is within the Torah has got significance and meaning. Yesh lomar, so one can suggest, what it says in the Midrash, that the beginning of the Torah should have been b'chodesh hazeh lechem, with these words, this month should be for you. Let's leave out the brackets. Hu gam aliba de'emet. That's actually a true point. It should have begun with that month should be for you, because that the Torah should begin, or does begin in a sense, with the words HaChodesh HaZerachem, this month should be for you. It begins with the first mitzvah. As the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Rashab, said, in a discourse which began exactly with these words, HaChodesh HaZerachem, and he explained that this section of the month, Parshat HaChodesh, is the real beginning of the Torah. So that's what the Rebbe Rashab, the fifth Rebbe, said in a discourse. That's the real beginning of the Torah. Ela she'inyan zeh, the only thing is this idea, that the Torah begins with these words, that this month should be for you the beginning of the month. Hu b'pnimiyut. That's in the inner dimension of the Torah. Ubegilui, but on the revealed outer dimension, hatchalat ha-Torah hi bereshit bara. The beginning of the Torah is with the words, in the beginning God created the world. So that's a fascinating thing. So we've got a link between these two passages in the Torah. One is the external, and that is the Torah beginning with, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. And then we have the internal, the pnimiyut, the inwardness, and that is beginning with this month should be for you the first mitzvah in the Torah. Now the Rebbe connects this with a discussion which is there in the Talmud. The Yeshua Kasha is there. This can be connected, as is known, the two opinions about when the world was created. So we got two opinions. There's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that it was created in Tishrei, or coming up to Tishrei. That means on the 25th of Elul was the actual creation of the world, and on the sixth day after that was Rosh Hashanah, when Adam and Eve were created. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, no, Rabbi Yeshua says the world was created in Nisan, and the actual day it was created was the 25th of Adar, which will be on Shabbat and is the birthday of the Rebbetzin. So that's the day the world was created, according to him. Now, it's true, he admits that the practical revelation, so to speak, of the creation was in Tishrei, was at the time when it's When we get to the end of the Torah, you see Tishrei, we're ending the Torah, we're beginning the Torah anew. That's when we start reading on Simchat Torah. We start reading in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. But also the whole focus of the festivals, which is there in Tishrei. So what the discourse is going to explain is the difference between the festivals of Tishrei and the festival of Pesach that we have in Nisan. So the actual creation was in Tishrei in the seventh month. But the thought to create the world, that means setting in motion the chain of processes which are going to lead to the world, that began in Nisan. That means this, the month that we're coming to now. According to the idea, the well-known idea that thought is the inwardness. Thought is hakavana v'hatachlit. It's the meaning, it's the purpose. It's the purpose of the actions that a person does after he or she has been thinking something. So someone thinks about something for some time, then they do something. So the inwardness of their action is the thoughts they were having. Nimsa Shabri. So that means the creation that took place in Tishrei, that in the seventh month, that's the external form of the creation. Whereas the internal aspect, Haikab and Nisan, was in Nisan. Similarly with the beginning of the Torah. The fact that Torah begins with the words, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, that was the practical expression of God creating the world. But that's on an external level. But on an internal level, the beginning of the Torah is with this text we're going to be reading from in the second Torah scroll, the Shabbat, which comes from the book of Exodus, that this month should be for you, and that is talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's talking about the new moon of Nisan. So let's just say it's quite a rather complicated thing, and it would be easier if we could draw diagrams. Is anyone muddled up? Or are you all still on board? Is it okay?
Yep, still with you.
Still with it. Okay, that's beautiful, Ilana. Right, okay. Ophir, you're with us.
Yes.
Lovely, okay. Right, and I see Rivka as well. So we're going to go back to the text. Right. Bahaktim. Now, this will be understood by first considering another point. The Vachiluk ben Tishrei and Nisan, when we're talking about the seventh month, Tishrei, and the first month, Nisan, there are a number of differences. One of them is the Hamshacha b'Tishrei, the flow which takes place on Tishrei. The Al-Yidei Yitaruta comes from an arousal from below, the efforts of man, because we're coming up there to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, people do tshuva, they repent, they fast, they do all kinds of things, they're turning to God. And so there comes a flow from God in response to the people who are turning towards God first. But the flow that comes on Nisan, the first month, now Pesach time, that is from above. That is itaruta de la'eli mitzad atzma. That is an arousal from above without any proper triggering from below. Mishmini. That's why we say the blessing for rain. And in Tishrei, that means the end of Sukkot. We have Shmini Atzeret. We don't actually want to ask for rain during Sukkot, but as soon as Sukkot ends, we do ask for rain. Whereas Birkat Tau, but the blessing for dew, we also say this in the synagogue, and that is on Pesach. Because Geshem, the thing about rain, The sages understand rain, and the Torah understands rain as being a product of us praying to God. We turn to God, we pray to God, we try to mend our ways, and the rain falls. We get the necessary rainfall. Whereas tal, dew, is something which comes all the time. The dew isn't stopped. There isn't a drought of tal. Even when there is a drought, God forbid, you can still get some dew in the early morning, like in the desert. But rain, either there's a time when it does rain, and then there might be a drought, and it might not rain for quite a long time, and that causes a lot of problems for farmers and for the crops. Now, the explanation of this is that the chayut, the life force, shenimshach b'Rosh Hashanah, which is drawn down on Rosh Hashanah in Tishrei, al kol hashanah, for the whole year, hu bigvul umida, is something limited. The life force which comes in Tishrei time, which comes as a result of our tshuva, our turning to God, that is a limited life force. And you could say that it's the life force which is enclosed in everything that's created. So everything that's created has got, including the table in front of me, has got a spiritual life force inside it, but it's limited. That's the basis of nature, the whole way in which nature runs. But the fact that Nisan is the first of the months, contrasting with Tishrei, which is the seventh month, and that is, there's a certain life force that comes from Nisan to all the other months. But hu benoger lamshachat o'ah bli gvul. That's because on Nisan there is a flow of an infinite radiance, a unlimited flow, unlimited radiance, shelamayim ma'olamot, which is higher than the worlds. And that's hashoresh dan hagan nisit. That is the root of miraculous things, miraculous happenings, shelamayim ma'ateva, which are higher than nature. The fact that the creation of the world was in Tishrei in the seventh month, and the going out of Egypt was in Nisan, the first month, is because the creation of the world is the fact that the world was created in the limited way according to the rules of nature. God created the world in such a way that it fitted in with the rules of nature. It's limited by nature. Whereas Yetziat Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, that's going out of any limitations, any borders of the world. Through revealing a tremendous divine radiance from which is higher than the world's. Right? So we have the kind of spiritual energy which creates the world, and that is the sort of the world of nature, and that's in the seventh month. And that's when we have Bereshit Bara Elokim, at the beginning God created. And then we have in the first month, which is really talking about the going out of Egypt, and that's a whole miraculous thing. And so it is a miraculous, a life force from God which causes miracles. So those are the two poles, as it were. Now we could say that these two things depend one on the other. That flow which comes in the seventh month due to our turning to God, our service of God, this is limited. Because we are limited ourselves, so if it's a product of our service, so we are limited. So that what happens is limited. The effect is limited. So, but the other pole, the Nisan atmosphere, the miracle that comes in Nisan is not limited by anything, because it is something which comes simply from an arousal from above, which is in itself, And it's something higher than any efforts we might make ourselves. So according to this, we can ask, why is it that God thought of making the world in Nisan, in the first of the month, in the first month of the year, the one that we're coming to of Pesach? What, how does that connect to what to the idea that how does this relate to the idea of the world being created? Now, world means something limited. The world being created in Nisan, which is a revelation of a light, which is without limits. Let me just see whether this commentary, since the upper level, the godliness, the unlimited godliness, and the flow of light, which is unlimited, which comes with a flow of radiance just by itself, is completely unlimited. So, how does that connect with the idea of the creation of the world in Nisan? Have I got that right, Rabbi Lu, and right translating it in the right way?
Repeat it.
Look, line 15, Tzarich Lavin, if you've got it on page
I
Zayin.
have it. I have it.
Yeah, page Zayin, Tzarich
Yeah.
Lavin. We have to understand
Yeah.
why the go. Do you want to translate it?
Yeah. Why was the thought, the plan to create the world in the month of Nisan? Since creation is talking about a world which is limited, which is finite. And Nisan represents the revelation of the infinite.
Right, you've made it much clearer, thank you. So Mahi HaShaychut, that's the important the important place to put the emphasis. In line 16, what's the connection of the creation of the world, which is something finite, with Nisan, which is something infinite? Right? Nisan is the time of miracles. So why should there be the thought of creation of the world in Nisan? Well, we said the thought of the creation was in Nisan and the actual practicality was in the seventh month. But what's Nisan got to do with creation of the world? Creation of the world is making something finite. And Nisan is about infinite things, it's about miracles, not finite things. Okay, so in order to explain that, we're going to see another point. Because the argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is not only about when the world was created, it's also about when the redemption will be. V'hinei ha'plugta to the Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, the disagreement between these two great rabbis, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, he gam is also v'negei lazman de geula atida. It's about the time when there will be the future redemption. He thinks there's a kind of balance. In Nisan, we were redeemed the first time, and in Tishrei will be redeemed finally. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, in Nisan we were redeemed, and in Nisan we will again be redeemed. So the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, explained that they're both going according to the way in which they understand the redemption. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that if you, the Jewish people do tshuva, then they'll be redeemed. And if they don't do tshuva, they won't be redeemed, God forbid. And so therefore he thinks that the future redemption will be in Tishrei, which is the time of tshuva. And because we do tshuva, because we repent, there'll be a response from God, and because of that, there'll be the redemption. Yeah, and in the seventh month, the month of Rosh Hashanah and Tishri and Yom Kippur and so on, then tshuva, repentance, mitkabelet b'yetter se'ed, it's particularly appropriate. It's received by God in a particularly open way. Whereas, and the fact that the redemption, the going out of Egypt, was in Nisan, and the future redemption will be in Tishrei. Why do you have one then and the other one the other time? It's because because these two events, the exodus from Egypt and the future redemption, are two different kinds of things. The redemption from Egypt was through a revelation from above, and so therefore was in Nisan, whereas the future redemption will come about through our repentance, the service of the Jewish people, and therefore it will be in Tishri. Okay, I'm going to miss out this next section. It's quite a long discourse. Now, okay, so we're now on the next page, Tet v'tzarich lavi. Now we have to understand. The menagel often agula, as regards the nature of the redemption, what is the sort of, how does Jewish thought in general understand it? Time along for Rabbi Eliezer, we follow the view of Rabbi Eliezer, as the Rambam wrote, She'ein Yisrael nigalin ele b'tshuva. The only way the Jewish people will be redeemed is through repentance. So, in other words, we follow Rabbi Eliezer saying, yeah, the Jewish people have to repent, and when we repent, the Mashiach will come. Which is repeated many times in the Talmud in different ways. But that is about how the redemption takes place. But again, it's mana geula. But as regards when the redemption takes place, that's a different thing. And Muvah b'chama drushim, and Shabbat Midrash, we find a number of midrashic passages that it simply presents things in terms of Rabbi Yeshua, that in Nisan we were redeemed once in Nisan and will be redeemed again in Nisan. So, in other words, why is there this difference? And so the Rebbe says one can possibly explain it this way, according to what it says in Tanya. All the revelations of the future depend on our actions during the time of exile. And this is simply according to all opinions, that what happens in the future depends on what we're doing now. Eilav Ba'at Shaladas Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says we're going to be redeemed in Nisan, the fact that through our actions and our service in the time of exile, will be brought down the revelation of the future is not because of that thing in itself, but it's because in our actions, in our service, in the time of exile, there is the power and a revelation from above. And according to that, one can say that this brings together the two concepts that we were speaking about before. That on the one hand, we're only redeemed through repenting. And on the other hand, the idea that we will be redeemed in Nisan, because the fact that the Jewish people repent at the end of their exile and immediately they're redeemed, as the Rambam puts it, is because by doing tshuva, by repenting, by the Jewish people at the end of our galut doing tshuva, there is a power of revelation from above, which is the idea of Nisan. So, in other words, we're drawing together the revelations and the power which is discharged through, on the one hand, our repentance in the seventh month, and triggering off the miraculous power of the first month. All right, so we're going to go into another midrash where we link things up further. But at this point, do people understand what's going on, or it's their question? It's quite a subtle point that's being made. And, I suppose if we had an easy way of doing a diagram, that might make it easier. Or it might make it more difficult to understand. Let me just try and recap briefly. We got the idea that there's the first month, Nisan, and the seventh month, Tishrei. And in the Torah, when it talks about creation, the commentary says, Rashi says, really the Torah should have begun with the activities in the first month, the whole activities leading up to the going out of Egypt. because that's the first mitzvah in the Torah. So we have the idea that Nisan, the seventh month is the time of the creation of the world in a limited way. Nisan is the month of redemption, and that is a time when a tremendous aspect of the divine, which is beyond any kind of measure, is revealed. God beyond limits. Now, if so, we can understand that the seventh month has to do with creation, and creation is like a limited thing, like it's creating a limited world. It's, you know, it might be a vast thing, but it's creating a world which is finite. And nonetheless, we say that while the actual creation took place in Tishrei, the thought of it and the sort of plan for it was in Nisan. Now, and further, how does the redemption take place? According to one view, it's that the Jewish people repent, and as a result of our repenting, we are redeemed. So, how does this fit together? Our repentance triggers off a response from the divine, which is so exalted and such an infinite level beyond all limits, that causes the redemption to be in the month of Nisan. So even though when we repent, we're in a kind of Tishri mode, we're in the mode of the seventh month, the mode of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and we repent. But that repentance triggers off something in the month of Nisan, so that when we get redeemed and we have the Geula, it is actually in the month of Nisan, like Pesach is. And so Pesach time, we went free from Egypt, and the same way, we will go free from all other kinds of exile. Okay, so I hope that's a little bit clearer. Any comment at this point? Right. Right. So the Rebbe says, okay, now this is a very interesting passage. This quotes a midrash, which is often mentioned in Hasidic texts, Chabad Hasidic texts. And it's interesting that on this occasion, the Rebbe explains it in a way which I personally find much clearer than many of the other ways it's explained. So this will be understood according to what it says in the Midrash, a parable of a king. And the king has someone whom he loves. Now, the king is God, and the one he loves is the Jewish people. So how is he speaking of the one he loves? So he loves her so much, he called her his daughter. And then he loves her even more, and he calls her his sister. And then he loves her even more, he calls her his mother. All right. So we have these three levels in the relationship between God and the Jewish people. One is that the Jewish people are like a daughter in relation to God. And the other is that we're like a sister. And the other is that we're like, so to speak, his mother. Now, how can that be? The text will explain it in a way which makes it seem not quite so peculiar. Now, the Rebbe points out that these three qualities, they relate to the three main festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, and then Sukkot. So Pesach, going out of Egypt, then the Jewish people were like we're described in the book of Yechezkel as a woman lying naked, and God sort of picks us up and looks after us, takes us out of Egypt. It's a very dramatic and very graphic text over there. So we're like the daughter. And that revelation, that power which redeemed us, was a revelation from above. As we say in the Haggadah, God was revealed to them in his glory and he saved them. Now, so that's why we're called a daughter, because the daughter is one who receives, the father gives the daughter. And she doesn't have anything of herself, but says she just has what she's given. Then we come after Pesach, 7 weeks after Pesach, we come to the giving of the Torah on Shavuot. And there we're called the sister of God, so to speak. And that's because through the Torah, we become, so to speak, a kind of a brother, a friend, so to speak, of God. Because through the Torah, the Jewish people become one with God. As it says, that God, the Jewish people and the Torah and the Holy One are completely one. Through the fact that the Jewish people, which can be explained as meaning, through the fact that the Jewish people are one with the Torah, through that they become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Holy One himself. So that's the second level. And then we have the third level, that through tshuva, through repentance, and now repentance is higher than Torah. The point being that when we keep the Torah, that's all very well. What happens if we break the Torah, God forbid? So we break the Torah, so someone is breaking Torah, he's not keeping the laws of the Torah. The only thing is, he can then repent, and his repentance can be effective on the highest level. So therefore, repentance is actually higher than Torah. And that's when we are called like the mother of the divine, because, so to speak, we are giving something to the divine, as it says, a verse, go out and see daughters of Zion, the King Solomon, with the crown that his mother gave him on the day he was married. So in other words, the idea that King Solomon has a crown which his mother gave him, we Jewish people, through our repentance, are able to give God a tremendously intense something, which is like giving him a crown, or like us being in the way of like a mother looking after her child. We have that relationship, so to speak, in relation to the divine. Now it says on in the Mishnah, what does it mean the day of his wedding? Just explaining this metaphor before, that is Yom Kippur, because through the repentance in Yom Kippur, which is the fullness of repentance, then it's as if the Jewish people give a crown to God. And since the revelation of the repentance and the atonement on Yom Kippur is in the festival of Sukkot, so therefore the main idea of this quality of the mother, so to speak, is on Sukkot. Now, it explains in Hasidic teachings, I'm going to go quickly through the next paragraph, but just in summary, what it explains in Hasidic teachings, that if we regard ourselves as a sister to God, or brother, or even the higher, you know, remarkable idea that we're like a mother to God, all this sort of presents us in a very aggrandized form. Whereas if we see ourselves just as the daughter of God, that we have nothing, we can't give anything. All we can do is, if God calls, we will follow God. We have no qualities. It's as if we're completely abnegated. And that sense of abnegation and of not having anything, that's what's expressed by the daughter. And the daughter is expressed by the month of Nisan, by the festival of Pesach. So therefore, Pesach represents a way in which our relationship to God is that we have nothing, as it were. All we have is that we are abnegated towards God, and because we're abnegated towards God, there might be all kinds of revelations of the divine. But we are not in control of that. We have absolutely nothing, and we sort of, it doesn't say it, but, you know, we throw ourselves on God's mercy because we don't feel that we have any good qualities. Now, that's a very important point. And that's something that distinguishes Hasidic thought, that the Chassid does not see himself or herself as having good qualities. One might struggle and try to achieve something, and thank God it happened, but we don't see that as our power. It's divine power. It's the blessing of the Rebbe, The Rebbe's doing it, but it's not us ourselves. Now, then the Rebbe goes off in an interesting tack. He says we can suggest that the fact that the future redemption depends on our behavior now during exile is because it's now during the time of exile that we have this abnegation more than any other time. Because any other time, everything's very good and it's very spiritual and it's very holy, and so we too are holy and so on. Whereas in exile, many people feel completely unholy. That's everything. We're being attacked on this, on the left and on the right, and all kinds of negative things. So therefore, the fact that we have, whoever's saying the Yeshua, one could suggest, he says it's very humbly, one could suggest that the power that there is in these generations to stand up against all the tests that we are having and that we've had, the earlier generations didn't have it so much. And one of the challenges we have today is not to be embarrassed when people make fun of you, and which is a particularly important challenge, a particularly disturbing challenge. Because when a person stands up to the challenge through the test, and he makes all his qualities stronger so that he's going to stand up. So since his qualities are limited, so then there are things that he's not going to be able to conquer. Whereas in the generation of the absolute heels of the Messiah, which is where we are right now, just at the edge of Mashiach, then the avoda is, in a way, of a daughter, not because of the special qualities we've got, but simply because of her selflessness in relation to God. And that's what we've got. We've got this selflessness in relation to God. And this idea, so this is also reflected in the fact that these three qualities, the daughter, the sister, the mother, relate to the three festivals, and in the time of the temple, because that's one second. The two higher ones, the sister and the mother, so to speak, are relating to things that we're doing in the temple, in the temple, whereas Pesach, going out of Egypt, is something we're doing in the time of exile. And that is a complete level of selflessness, because there we were enslaved in Egypt, and there we experienced this real selflessness. So now we can explain the whole idea in relation to these two focal points, Tishri and Nisan, and will the Jewish people be saved? They'll only be saved because of repentance, or the idea that they will be redeemed in Nisan. Because the fact that the Jewish, now here's a very subtle point, and if we can understand it would be a very good thing. The fact that the Jewish people do tshuva at the end of our exile, and the greatest concealment is at the end of the exile, and that's where we are now, the Rebbe assures us. So that is something that we feel in an incredible way, that we're able to do tshuva, and we're not doing it because of our special qualities. It's not because of we are very deep people, we're very spiritual, we're very sensitive, that's why we're repenting. No. It's because the Torah tells us that in the end of time we're going to do tshuva, and as a result of that, we're going to be redeemed and Mashiach will come. That is Nisan, that's the daughter, that's someone doing things not because of their own good qualities, but simply it's spinning up because that's the situation they're in. So it's not ours, it's something we receive from above. And even though we want, we decide, we care about it, we are doing tshuva, we are repenting, we're going to start putting on tefillin, we're going to start eating kosher, we're going to start keeping Shabbat. And nonetheless, the fact that we're doing this at the end of exile is not because of our grandeur, it's because the Torah is promising us that in the end we will repent. And so, you know what? That promise from the Torah is having an effect on us, and that's why we are repenting. So the Rebbe says that one can suggest the fact that Jewish people are repenting and immediately they get redeemed is that when we do the tshuva because of the person who is so exalted and special and sensitive and holy, and that's why we're doing tshuva, even though repentance in general is like a leap, nonetheless, there's a certain order to it. If it's coming about because of the superiority of this person. But and since the person is limited, so then the leap itself is limited. So first of all, the person comes to a lower level of repentance, then to a higher level of repentance, and finally he is redeemed completely from the situation he was in before he did repent. And the Jewish people will repent at the end of exile, and at once they'll be redeemed. Now, that's because this repentance, but where it's so all that, I think the turning point here is line 21. That we have various ways in which we repent and we get out of various sticky situations. But all that depends on us having some kind of positive qualities. Whereas the fact, and here it's line 22, 23, the fact that we, no, 21, the fact that the Jewish people do tshuva at the end of our exile and at once we are redeemed, that is because doing tshuva is in the way of the daughter. And that means we're doing it not because of anything to do with us and because of our sensitivity and our holiness and our greatness. We're doing it because this is the promise of the Torah, that at the end of exile we'll repent and we'll be redeemed. And in this selflessness, like the daughter, we actually really we reach the essence of the divine in a very exalted way, the way that the divine is completely beyond the downchaining of worlds. And that has a tremendous effect. Now, this chapter seven, this promise of the way that this promise of the Torah makes the person repent from his or her own strength, that is really joining together Nisan and Tishri. Because the fact that the tshuva at the end of exile is that the Jewish people do tshuva with their own power from below to above, which wasn't like the going out of Egypt, because that was from above to below, whereas here it's that we're doing from below to above. That is, if we skip to line 11, that is the special quality of the month of Tishri. And the fact that doing tshuva is because of the promise of the Torah, and therefore it's in a way that at once we are redeemed, and it's higher than any kind of order. That is the quality of Nisan, because Nisan is a miraculous month when things happen out of order. And so there we have the special quality of Nisan and Tishrei working together. I think we will take it as far as this. The discourse does go on further, but I think we'll basically take it to this point that there is this power. Let me see. Yeah, it introduces a new concept, which is very beautiful, but I think we'll get more lost there. So the idea that we have these two qualities, one, the step that we make, and the other, and that relates to our repentance, and that relates to the way in which God created the world, and that there is a this appeal to us, as it were, that we have to repent, and which is what we do, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and we reach a very high level of repentance, and that means a revelation of God. But if that is going according to our own power, it's necessarily limited. Whereas if it has to do with Nisan, then it's a miraculous dimension, which is completely beyond limitation. And so what the Rebbe is doing is knitting together these two aspects. There's the repentance on the one hand, which comes from the person, And there is the complete selflessness of the person, which triggers off the miraculous dimension of the divine. And by knitting those two things together, that's how we actually get the real redemption taking place in the month of Nisan, which we're looking forward to very much. Thank you very much.
Thank you.